April 19th, 2024. This morning's class should be as a refuah shlema for Yafa bat Arlet. We're in Masechet Bava Kama and Kafhe Amud Bet, five lines from the top, three words before the end of the line where the Gemara says, Amarle Ravaha midifti leravina. And so the Gemara is continuing in its issues with regard to this technicality known as Dayo. Dayo lebamin adin lihiyot kinidon, our understanding of the Pesukim in the Torah, based on the Beraita that we cited at the beginning of the Sugya, is that this principle known as Dayo, we'll review it in just a moment again, is a biblical principle. You can't go against it entirely. It's true, Hachamim and Rabbi Tarfon have different interpretations of when it applies, but fundamentally you have to accept it. What's the principle? The principle is found in the Torah at the end of Parashat Beha'alotecha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe and says, although Miriam is has Sarat now, she doesn't need to be outside of the camp for anything more than 7 days. Now there's a novelty even in those 7 days. Who said she needs to go out at all? Well, the concept, says God to Moshe, is if her father were to embarrass her, she would hide away for 7 days. So if God embarrassed her over here through this Sarat, she has 7 days as well. Wait a second. Shouldn't it be if it was her father, 7 days? If it's God, at least double, 14. Why is it seven? The concept is dayo. It's enough. It's sufficient. We cap off Leba min hadin, something that's being learned from logic, lihiyot kenidon, to be like the teacher, to be like the one that's teaching it. If the father is 7 days, so too God is 7 days. Rabbi Tarfon, in contrast, says it's true, Hakamim, I agree with you in principle. However, if I have a logic, if I have a kal vachomer, and because of this concept known as dayo, I'm not going to learn anything. That's what we call mifrich kal vachomer. So then we don't apply that principle. Over there in the Torah, without the pasuk, without God telling Moshe, we wouldn't have known that she's getting any days outside of the camp, any tisagim. So we say dayo, cap it at 7 instead of 0. But in our circumstance, where I'm dealing with shortam, which is our issue, in Reshut Rabbim, it's half payment. In Reshut HaYachid, baseline is it's half payment. My fancy kal vachomer says you bump it up to full payment. If I don't use my fancy kal vachomer, it's not like I have a baseline of, well, half, but half is not being learned from the kal vachomer. The concept of Rabbi Tarfon, in short, is that dayo is only utilized, it's only used to suppress, to cap the kal vachomer when the kal vachomer will still be teaching something. In my circumstance, he says, of shortam, I would have known half anyway, I won't apply dayo. And so the Gemara then, and we spent time yesterday, and we'll spend more time today, says, but wait a second, aren't there other opinions who, generally speaking, just don't have this concept of dayo? Yesterday we attempted and we said it's not true. Today we're going to attempt again. We're again going to have to say it's not true. Why are we going to have to say it's not true? Because if it's pisukim in the Torah, as the rabbis understand it, it can't be that Tanaim, that rabbis from time of the Mishnah Beraita, are going against it. If the principle of dayo is in place, that even Rabbi Tarfon needs to accept it, it can't be that anyone negates it entirely. So as a result, here it is. Amar le ravaha midifti, and we're back into and continuing in certain tuma and tahara developments today. Le ravina veha hay tana, this author or this rabbi from the time of the Mishnah Beraita, la darish dayo. He isn't doresh the concept, the entity known as dayo at all. Ve'af al gav de la mafrich kal vachomer, even in circumstances where you wouldn't lose, so to speak, the kal vachomer. In other words, that's when Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, when you lose the kal vachomer, I won't accept dayo. Over here, even though the kal vachomer would be teaching me something, he still doesn't have dayo. How so? Ditanya, as the Beraita taught. Mapatz. Mapatz, without getting into the severe technicalities of Tosafot, is translated as a mat made of reeds. Okay, so it's a mapatz, it's a mat made of reeds. Bemet minayin. Now, bemet, we see the word dead, a dead person. What we're referring to, and we'll read it in Rashi in just a moment, is this mat, if it's under a ceiling, we call that tumat ohil, where there's a dead person as well, it gets the tum'ah of that dead person. Of course, the avi avot tuma, when we talk about impurity of the Torah at its core, the highest level in terms of that, it's a dead person. When a person comes in contact with a dead person, not necessarily through touch, but being under the same ceiling, even under the same tree. Kohanim are certainly aware of this. They get that tum'ah. How do you know that not only a person, Kohanim, today, very relevant to them, but even a mapatz, even this mat made of reeds, gets that as well. All right, we'll have to deal with why that's a novelty. But take a look for a moment at Rashi on the left-hand side. Three lines from the top. Mapatz bemet minayin, shemitame, that it gets tuma, lefi shene'emar bemet gabe midyan. The pasuk that describes to us the tumat met after the war in Midyan says the following. V'chol beged, v'chol keli or. You see, the pasuk says v'chol beged means clothing. Keli or, of course, means leather utensils. The next words are v'chol ma'ase izim, if it's made out, you know, some sort of fur. V'chol keli etz, or something that's made out of wood. Those are the four examples in a pasuk in the Torah, which gives me the four examples of things that tithata'u, that need to be purified. Those are the four examples. I don't see in that mats as well. Says Rashi, lefi she'ne'emar gabe midyan, the primary text with regards to tumat met is v'chol beged v'chol kli or v'gomer v'ze'eno, and this mat is not a part of and can't be included in bichlal beged, v'lo bichlal or, v'lo bichlal kle'et. Minayin sha'afilu hu metameh be'ohel hamet. So I need a derasha, since it's not explicit in the Torah that this as well gets that tumah when it's under the same ceiling as met. So that's the question. The pasuk in the Torah leaves me with a somewhat detailed analysis of what gets tumah. How do I know to include, maybe I don't, how do I know to include even a mapatz? Now here's the answer in the Beraita. Vidinhu. Vidinhu, we know what those words mean as well. Kal vachomer. We say, en onshin min hadin, as I mentioned yesterday. That means you can't, based on kal vachomer, on logic, give punishment. So over here, vidinhu, dayodabab min hadin. Din, although we associate with judgment, it also means logic in the Gemara. Uma pachin ketanin. So this is the beginning of the kal vachomer. We appeal to something called pachin ketanim. Pachim ketanim, that's right. He was Hozer al Pachim, right. Pachim ketanim is a reference to small earthenware vessels. To the extent that they're so small, the top is narrow, and you wouldn't be able to stick your finger into that. That's significant. We need to keep that in mind. So again, pachim ketanim are these earthenware clay vessels, which are so small that you can't stick your finger into them. Now, uma pachim ketanim shetehorim bezav. Back to our, well, Alan's not here for it, but back to our friend the Zav, Morris, you are at least. Zav, the gonorrheic patient. So back to Zav. So what's the halakha with regards to pachim ketanim? They are tehorim bezav. If a Zav, who generally speaking imparts tum'ah, somehow touches these, they don't get tum'ah. Who said? I mean, so we could, on everything here, we could just accept. Maybe we'll look into each one a little bit. Rashi on the left-hand side. Pachim ketanim tehorim bezav. Bechol tum'otav. Any type of tum'ah which the zav could give. We'll talk about a few of them in a moment, but we talked about two already yesterday. Dekleheres en metame ela ma'aviro. First and foremost, says Rashi, the only way an earthenware vessel gets tum'ah is from the inside of it. Meaning, if you're touching it externally, no tumah when it comes to clay utensils. When it comes to touching inside that, well, what did I mention about pachim ketanim? Their top is so narrow, umitoch shepiv shelo sar, and since the top of this pachin is so narrow, en yachol lachnis etz ma'ol letocho, nobody could insert their finger in. So there's no tumat maga when it comes to pachim ketanim of zav. Ulemidras namela hazeh. And furthermore, there's another type of tumah known as midras, sitting on, standing on, leaning on. Midras as well, says Rashi, it's only when it's an item which is purposed for leaning on that it gets tumah. A mat is purposed for leaning on. A chair, a bed, those are tumat midras, not a vessel. Okay. Ubeheset nameh. And as well, when we talk about heset means carrying. There's another type of tum'ah, so we addressed maga, no, only externally. Midras, no, it's not purpose to lean on or to sit on or to step on. Heset means to carry.
What is tameh? Don't
correct.
So if I want to tell tameh,
it's not tameh. It's only metame mitocho.
Masad.
What? Same idea for our purposes. Ubeheset name lehache apke rahmana leheset kleheres bezav belashon maga. It says, if you look at the pasuk in the Torah, which teaches us that carrying as well by a zav imparts tum'ah, the pasuk is talking about touching. It says touching, and we derive from it carrying. Well, wait a second. What we established with regards to a zav and a klecheres, there's no touching because it's only external. And as a result, if the pasuk in the Torah refers to the carrying in the with the words touching, it means there's no carrying tumah either. Kidichtiv, as the pasuk says, with regard to this issue, וכלחרס אשר יגע בו הזב ומהכנף קלן דזב מתמא בהסת לממר דכל שאינו ראוי לתמא במגעו אינו מתמא בהסתו. We derive that it's one and the same. If you're not metame tumat maga, because that's the halakha with regards to klecheres, so too you're not metame beheset. So, in short, what we established then in the Gemara? Two words over here. That a zav who touched a klecheres, what's the halakha, says the Gemara? Haru detanya, mapatz bemet minayin vidinu, umapachin ketanim shetehorim bezav. We just established the small earthenware vessels with regards to zav, no tumah. Mitame bemet, they nonetheless are derived easily from the pasuk that if this pach katan goes under the same roof as a dead person, it gets tumah. So again, this small earthenware vessel, a zav touches it, carries it, sleeps on it, not mitame. Goes under the roof with a dead person, it is mitame. So that's on our one side. We're putting these two items next, this item under a roof, and this item, when being touched, carried, or sat upon, on this side. Now, let's go to the other side. Mapat, what I'm dealing with, the mat. Shemitame bezav. It certainly is mitame bezav. How do you know? All three of the qualifications we just mentioned are matched when I'm dealing with this mat. Why are they all matched? It could be touched easily. There's no holes inside of it that are preventing. It can be sat on. It's purposed to be sat on. It's a mat. It could be stood on. It's a mat. And thirdly, it can be carried, and that would give tumah, because if you have touch, you have carrying. Mapat. Shemetame bezav enodin shiyetame bemet. That's our kal vachomer. Then it, all the more so, certainly it should be metame when it's under the roof together with a dead person. So one more time. If when I'm dealing with the earthenware vessel, it's not metame bezav, but it is metame bemet. When I'm dealing with the mat, right, where it's mitame bezav, any of those three ways, certainly it's mitame bemet. That's the kal vachomer we set forth. So far, so good. We don't know anything about dayo. The kamayetela, and we're learning with from this, ben letumat erev, ben letumat shiva. We're learning based on this that the mat gets tum'ah on a very high level. There are two qualifications we could talk about in the context of tumah. Number one, what's called tumat erev. Tumat erev means it needs to be immersed in water. And at that night, after shikiyah, it retains its purity. That's tumat erev. But there's furthermore, maybe you need to wait 7 days in order to do so. Well, we're deriving from zav. We're deriving from zav. And where we said that it had the tumat met, that it needs 7 days, we're deriving from over there somehow a double derasha. But wait a second. Rashi, if you take a look, kamayite le mapat sheyehetame bemet shiva yamim kishar kelim shebeohel hamet. Okay, so what we're deriving somehow is laws of 7 days above and beyond just evening. Ve'ahane, so it says the Gemara, ve'amai. Why is this so? Ema ahane kal vachomer letumat erev, ve'ahane dayo la'apuke mitumat shiv'a. That's right. Says the Gemara, in short, to try to simplify this as much as we can, on the one hand side we have the pachim ketanim, on the other hand we have the mapat. if I'm going to derive from the kelim kitanim what I derive, what I the halakha with regards to tumat mit, what do I know about the kelim? I know they have what's called tumat erev. How am I deriving to this mapatz a higher level tum'ah than the thing it's being learned from? The very thing it's being learned from is the vessel in the tent. And I'm learning from the vessel in the tent, which has what's called tum'at erev, meaning it gets immersed that day and then it gets its purity back that night. Well, that's all I should have with regards to the mat, which is inside of the Ohel Hamid. I should have that it got the night. How'd you go above and beyond what you were learning it from? You were learning it from one area where it has Tumat Erev. Okay, so I derived from that the same law to this area known as the mat. How'd you go above and beyond? That means we're ignoring our principle known as Dayo. Let me repeat it one more time. The principle of Dayo means... That should be the dayo. The fact that you're doing the 7 days as well is above the cap. I needed the kal vachomer. Of course it is. That's the problematic one. That's the problematic one. We should say I use the kal vachomer and cap it at the kal vachomer. Chalas. Rabbi Tarfon. That's why Rabbi Tarfon didn't have Dayo. However, if you need the Kal Vachomer to create the initial Tum'ah, we thought everybody agrees over there that you say Dayo. How come over here we're not?
You're an explicit Pasuk in the Torah that Kamimet is 7 days, no?
Not with... No, you're thinking about human beings, altogether different laws over here. No, with regards to this, it's not so. With regards to the Pachim Ketanim, it has Tum'at Erev, it's immersed, and then it's kosher. Then it's good.
How long is the 2 hours for the mapatz?
That's what we're trying to figure out. No?
Mapatz for zah. If we know that the whole kal vachomer is that klisheres doesn't have tuma for zah, but mapatz does. And kal vachomer for tuma net, which this has. And this
so you want to do it internally at the rasha, but we still. Not really. That was the machlok between Rabbi Tarfon and Chachamim. And ultimately speaking, it seemed to be that we fell off of it. Rabbi Tarfon, ultimately speaking, did not just say, I'm focused on different details. He said that, I'll accept Dayo. I just won't accept it when it's mafrich. You're just on the first version of the Gemara from earlier. And we fell off of that, ultimately. So I don't think it's going to help you, but it's a quality point. Says the Gemara, Amar le, kvar raman nihale, Rav Nachman bar Zecharia le Abaye. He says, this question that you seem to be learning too much from the Kal Vachomer. Again, the Kal Vachomer should teach from the earthenware utensil to the mat, the baseline tuma. We're calling that tumat erev, the evening immersion and then becoming tahor. That much you should be able to derive. Beyond that, this 7 day limit, shouldn't be able to learn that. We should say dayo, we should squash the kal vachomer right there and say, oh, hold up, we cap it here. You learned one thing, don't get greedy in terms of your derasha. You can't learn more than the item which is teaching to the thing that's learning from it. This is, that question was already asked. And in truth, your assumption until now was wrong. Our details are all off. Are you kidding me? Yeah, that's right. We were talking about altogether different stuff. Really? How so? Ve'amar le Abaye tana mimapatz besheres mayetela. It says we were talking about something altogether different. We were talking about not a mat and in the way we were just addressing, but a mat that came in contact with what's called sheretz. What's sheretz? One of those 8 creepy crawling things which are enumerated in the Mishnah Masechet Shabbat, which impart tuma. So a rat, a lizard of some sort, goes onto this mat. Ve'ache kamar, and this is the derasha we were really doing. Mapatz b'sheretz minayin. How do I know that a mat gets tuma from sheretz? Well, that's not the question we asked initially. We're redoing the question we asked initially. Redoing the Beraita entirely, according to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, which means to say, correct. We had a moment to go mapatz bemet minayim. We wanted to know the mapatz, the mat which is under the roof of a dead person. That was never the question. Question was the mat which is got in contact with one of these creepy crawling items. We're going to go back to it and say, but wait a second, what about the mat in that? And so we're going to learn that one from a derasha. That one's going to be more clear. It's going to be a gezerah shava. You won't have these sorts of issues. You'll have other issues. But now the question that was learned from Kal Vachomer was the mat which comes in contact with what's called the sheretz. V'dinu, it's a Kal Vachomer. Uma pachin ketanim. We know these words already, those small earthenware utensils. Shetehorim bezav teme'im b'sheretz. They, on the one hand, with regards to a zav, all three of their tum'ah capabilities are stunted. Teme'im b'sheretz, when a sheretz, touches, what's it called? Pachim ketanim, they become tame. Why do they become tame? I thought you told me a pach is so small. The answer is sherasim, and we'll see this in a moment, could be very small. And the sheretz is mitameh even ka'adasha, the size of, you know, a little lentil. And as a result, they can get inside, whereas a human's even pinky finger, we imagine, can't get inside from the zav, can't get inside. When I'm dealing with sheretz, we're going to deal with this in a moment, there is a tum'ah. So again, umapech pachim ketanim shetohorim bezav. Whereas on the one hand, pachim ketanim, a zav that touches, handles, sleeps, whatever, on these utensils, there's a tahora, there's no tuma, teme'im b'sheres, that's what I'm just telling you, they can get inside of it enough in order to be mitameh mapatz. Lead this over now to the mat, shemitameh b'zav, as we said, a zav who sleeps, touches, carries the mat, makes it tameh, and odin sheyehe tameh b'sheretz, certainly it should become tameh b'tumat sheretz. How many days? Over here, it's clear one day. Over here, the derasha is not going to go more than tumat erev. We're not talking about shiva yamim. We're not talking about dead people at all. There's no question about that. So over here, there's no question of dayole ba minadin lihiyot kenidon. The derasha now entirely reversed or changed. It's one day to one day. What do we know about the mat when a creepy crawler goes onto it? One day, you wait until you immerse it that day. You wait until the evening and it's tahor. So too, the mat with regards to being under the mat with regards to the utensil which got touched by the sheretz, you wait until the evening. So to the mapatz, the mat which got touched by the sheretz becomes tameh in such a fashion that evening it becomes tameh. So in short, the Gemara then applied a kal vachomer in a way that we didn't have it initially. We thought initially we were learning laws with regards to the mat which came under the tent of the dead person. That's not what we were learning. What were we learning from this kal vachomer? The mat which the creepy crawler went over. And the mat which the creepy crawler went over, we equated, or we learned in a kal vachomer from the utensil which the creepy crawler went into. And we made this kal vachomer for tuma'at ha'erev. We don't get into the problem, what's the matter, Jesse? We just redid the whole thing. There is no dayot to be had. There's no higher level. It's just based on
the fact that there was a guy who disagreed with dayot.
That's correct. So we avoided the issue of, oh my goodness, I thought everybody agrees with Dayo. Says the Gemara, okay, but can we finish filling this out? Because we do know somehow that the mat, which is under the tent of a dead person, is Tameh Shiva'at Yamim. I was like, where'd you learn that from? I thought you told me a moment ago, you tried to learn it from a Kal Vachomer, we got in all sorts of problems. Says the Gemara, Ela Mapatz Bemet Minayin? Question mark. Okay, so now that I dealt with that, now that I'm done with Dayo for all intents and purposes, let me go back to Tumah and Tahara, which you opened up with, which I thought we were actually dealing with. I got a little interested in it. You told me about the mat under the ceiling of the dead person. Where's that learned from? Answers the Gemara, not from a Kal Vachomer. It's learned from a Gezerah Shava. Gezerah Shava, of course, is when the Torah uses the same or similar word in two places, or words in two places, and we have a tradition that they're connected one to the other. We're not always certain with regards to what laws are to be derived from it, but we generally speaking have a tradition that these words are linked up to one another. Here's how it goes. Ne'emar, the pasuk says, beged ve'or b'sheres. In the context of creepy crawling items, the pasuk in the Torah uses the words clothing or leather. All right, those are words that are going to be used often in the Torah. As I mentioned, Gezerah Shavah is going to need to be a tradition. So it's used in one place, those two words. V'ne'emar beged ve'or b'met. In the context of a dead person, in the context of Tumat Met and Tumat Ohel, the Torah talks about those same two words. What are the two words? Beged, clothing, and Or. Ma beged ve'or ha'amur b'sheret, ma patz tamebo. Af beged ve'or ha'amur b'met, ma patz tamebo. So as the Gemara, the Derasha goes as follows, quite simply and clearly, if by the first place where it says beged and or, which is the place of the creepy crawling things, the sheret, oh, what's the halakha with regards to a mat over there? Tameh. How do you know it's tameh? We just learned that in the Kal Vachomer. Okay, so too, from sheret, which is derived the Kal Vachomer, that the mat has that tumah, if I'm going to deal with the mat in the context of death, in the context of tumat mit, it's also going to be tameh. How much is it going to be tameh? No, it's going to go 7 days over here. How are you going to go 7 days? Well, over here it's not being learned from a Kal Vachomer. Over here it's a Gezerah Shavah. Gezerah Shavah has the power to say, if this is the law over here, we'll apply it to you and with all your type of laws. Your system, your laws. And as a result, we're not going to get stuck. Well, you're learning more from... No. We're just applying principles with regards to that. However, there is something that needs to be in place when we get into the world of Gezerah Shavah, and that is what's called Mufneh. Mufneh means that if you want to learn a Gezerah Shavah properly, you need to make certain, oftentimes, that there's not a reason to knock it down. What do I mean by knock it down? Ask some sort of logical difference. I'll say, well, you're learning from there to here. Maybe it only applies to over there. What do you mean? You just told me I have a Gezerah Shavah. You told me it's a tradition. Now, if that tradition stands, the word is here and the word is there, and in this place where that word is used, it's not used to teach me anything else, I say, well, that's exactly why the Torah did this. The Torah, God, in His infinite wisdom, said, I'm going to implant the Torah with this word over here, same word over there, to tell you this law. But what if I use that word already to teach me other laws? And you want to, in addition to that, teach me this Gezerah Shavah and the laws from this. That's what we say, it's not Mufneh. And as a result, we then ask questions on it. We then say, well, wait a second, are you sure you're going to make... Says the Gemara... You can oftentimes learn the same thing, but learn two things from the same word and from the same Gezerah Shavah. We do it all the time. It's only going to work if you don't have a pircha, though. If you have a pircha, you have a question on it, then it needs to be mufneh. That's what we're going to see spelled out over here for us in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, again, af beged ve'or he'amur b'met mapatz tamebo. Says the Gemara, it must be, you must be telling me that it's mufneh. It must be that one of these two pesukim, the beged and or, is mufneh. Mufneh milashon penai, milashon panui. It's open. That's the way you would say it in Hebrew today. Even panui means it's open, he has space. Di ilo mufneh. If the pasuk of beged and or is already utilized for a different derasha, so to speak, it's not open, ikal mifrach. We could ask a question on this. What would the question be? Ma lesheret sheken mitameh beka'adasha. Tumat bemet she'en mitameh beka'adasha. I might say that tumat sheret, the creepy crawling items, are more severe. They're more hamur. Why are they more severe? Their size of tumah is very small. What's their size of tumah? It's called Ka'adasha, it's the size of a lentil. That's very, very small. And since that's so small, maybe there's more severity with regards to the mat when it comes to sheretz. Since sheretz is metameh, it's such a small amount, even ka'adasha, just that small amount touched it, maybe that's why we say that the tumat sheretz also is metameh the mat. If you're going to go into the world of tumat meh, where the measurement and required size with regards to tumah is bigger, maybe I wouldn't apply it. The only way to apply this is if I can argue that this Gezerah Shavah is mufneh, says the Gemara, one more time, is mufneh. If it again, it's got to be mufneh. Otherwise, I would say the following. Mufneh means the pasuk is open for derashot. Otherwise, I would say the following. You're trying to learn from where? From sheretz. What's the halakha with regards to sheretz? Sheretz is mitameh even b'ka'adasha. Okay, you're trying to derive that law that if a creepy crawling item goes onto the mat, it's mitameh, to teach me as well that the mat becomes tameh if it's under the house, under the ceiling of a dead person. I don't think you could do that. What do you mean? Dead people, so much more hamur than creepy crawling item. Wait a second. Look at a creepy crawling item. How much of it needs to touch? just a very small amount, ka'adasha. How much of a dead person, flesh, needs to be under this roof in order to impart tumah? Kazayit. Oh, so that's a much bigger size. That's what we call a kula. Says the Gemara, if this wasn't a gezerah shava, which was mufne, which was opened up, that the word has teaching me nothing else other than this law. So I say, okay, that's what the Torah is saying. I know you're going to ask me these questions. That's why I'm leaving this Torah, in this word in the Torah. Okay, but if this word is used for other things, it's not a gezerah shava mufne. We're going to say you could learn two things, but we're going to ask questions unless you're able to answer them. And you're not going to be able to answer this one. Says the Gemara again. So says the Gemara the following mufne. It's got to be that this gezerah shava is open. It's not being used to teach me other things. Di'i lo mufne, if it wasn't so, ikala mifrach, you would be able to ask the following. Ma lesheretz, sheken metame b'ka'adasha. A sheretz is more hamor, it's more severe, because even on the smaller size of a lentil, it imparts tumah because b'met, she'en metame b'ka'adasha, ila b'ka'azayit. Says the Gemara, la'ayeh. A funny word, comes up a few times in Talmud, which means, if I'm not mistaken, it's true. Yes, it's true. Afnuyeh mufne. Indeed, this gezerah shava is mufne. The beged and all, which is mentioned in the pasuk, is not being used to teach me any other laws. Says the Gemara, wait a second. Michde sheretz itkish l'shichvat zera. I'm going to explain to you how I know it's mufne. How do I know that this gezerah shava is mufne? From the following. Sheretz has a hekesh to shichvat zera. If you weren't confused already with the derashot, here we go with some more. Says the Gemara, we have yet another derasha. We dealt with Kavahoma today. We dealt with Gezerah Shava. There's Hekesh as well. Why is this Hekesh going to be necessary? This Hekesh is going to be necessary to prove to me that that this Gezerah Shava is Mufne. I don't think we have the time to do it right now. So let's just very briefly take a look at Rashi to fill out one or two of the points that we maybe didn't entirely fill out. Rashi, Mapat Shemitame Bezav. Rashi was talking about, remember, the mat, which we very clearly said, when it comes to a zav, gets tuma. We said when it comes to a zav, a mapat, in contrast to the pachim ketanim, the small utensils, will get tumat, what's it called? Mishkav. Midras. We're going to give it to Saz Rashi, Shira'ui l'mishkav, because after all, a mat is a very easy and purposeful usage, is to lie on it. Uchtiv ha-mishkava she-yishkav. And the Pasuk says, what gets timat, tumat midras? What gets that tumat? Something that you would lie on. The kamayit ele, thus we read, mapat she-yehetameh b'met, shiva yamim kishar kelim be-ohel ha-met, said the Gemara, lehane dayo le-ma'ote tumat shiva, the hazav lo metameh la le b'mishkavo, ela tumat erev. That was the Gemara's question. If by Zav, the halacha is all you have is Tumat Erev, you only have until the evening, how could you derive from that to the Tumat Ohel by these Pachim Ketanim? That's what the Gemara went off and changed its Kal Vachomer. So in short, let's very briefly summarize broadly what we did today. Broadly what we did today, and we have just about one more day to finish all these derashot, so it's good we have Monday. Broadly what we did today is we did the last stage in this dayo business. The Gemara was utilizing this concept known as dayo. We said it's a mahlok between Chachamim and Bitafon, how to use it. We assumed from based on a beraita, everybody has to have the principle of dayo. We now challenge that initially from the beraita, which seemed to be not using dayo in arguing that those small utensils can get a tumah even of 7 days from being under the same roof as a dead body from a Kal Vachomer. The Gemara says that's never what the Kal Vachomer was used for, but that law is true. It's just learned from, it's derived from a Gezerah Shava. We're in the midst of developing that Gezerah Shava and saying the Gezerah Shava is in place, and it can teach us that because this Gezerah Shava is what's known as a Gezerah Shava Mufne. One of the sides, or both of the sides of the Piskrim, are purposefully written to teach us this law. We'll continue and finish this next time. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.